especially when you're working on more rare or less common diseases, finding enough patients to effectively power a clinical trial can be very challenging.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is about using artificial intelligence for personalized patient care. Patients with complex chronic disorders don't have a single cause for their disease. Each patient has a unique combination of genetic and environmental risk factors. Currently, many complex diseases are detected far too late in their progression based on symptoms that can be misleading. Today, I'm with Jessica Gibson, who is the CEO and co-founder of Ariel Precision Medicine. Ariel use artificial intelligence to go beyond genetics and to provide valuable information to clarify risk and guide personalized approach to the early detection of complex diseases such as pancreatitis and pancreatic cancer. So great to have you on the show, Jessica. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Could we start with you telling me a little bit about your background and how you got into this and, you know, how you started Ariel, what you did to co-found it?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up with a parent that was dealt with a chronic disease, and I always knew that I wanted to do something to help people. So naturally, I went into healthcare. I got my undergraduate degree in emergency medicine. And during that time, I also was in gastroenterology research at University of Pittsburgh, and quickly realized that I didn't want anything to die when I went to work. I really wanted to use my skills to help change the way people lived and improve their lives. And I had a friend that recruited me to California to start working in DNA sequencing services. This is early 2000s, so right after the Human Genome Project, there was so much promise. And then from there, built up a really successful career in pharma. And I really was kind of disappointed or frustrated with the lack of ability to actually understand what was driving patients' disease. Most care focuses on symptom management. So in 2015, when President Obama announced the Precision Medicine Initiative, it was really the right time when the health system was changing. So my co-founder, Dr. David Whitcomb, and I had a shared vision to really pull in all of the fantastic foundation of research that had been done that could fuel earlier insights into disease, using technology like AI to better understand patterns that make similar patient clusters, and then align treatments to that with a mechanism of action. So got my executive MBA and a number of other certificates in disruptive strategy and AI in healthcare, and have been really it's been such a pleasure to see the evolution of Ariel and what we've been able to accomplish for patients.
That's amazing. And could you tell me a bit about Ariel? You know, what does Ariel do? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so we are a vertically integrated precision medicine company, and it focuses on using a patient's lifestyle, environment, and genetics to understand what are the systems that are failing within their biology, and then how do we use those insights to help providers better manage their patients, support earlier and accurate diagnosis. And then on the back end, we use that data and actually those patients to fuel more efficient clinical trials. So we get targeted therapeutics to the market faster. So I think we've spent the first couple of years focusing on the platform and facilitating the precision. And now we're actually in the medicine application where we are supporting the development of novel treatments in diseases that haven't had treatments before, like pancreatitis.
What were the breadth of other conditions you do? I was only reading about the pancreatic cancer and the pancreatitis.
Yeah, well, the pancreas is actually the ideal organ to start in because it's biologically very simple. There's only essentially three cell types that each do one thing. So when you're creating models for how inflammation or immune response and fibrosis, cellular dysfunction, how they change and how they're dynamic over time, the pancreas is really our template. But we're more broadly focused on digestive and metabolic diseases. And okay. This is the perfect launch point for this type of technology because, you know, the presentation of abdominal pain or GI discomfort or, you know, diarrhea could be a host of things. So we focus on uncovering that more broadly, like in inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, hepatic disorders. NASH is a perfect example of a complex disease. So really we're looking much more broadly than just the pancreas.
Oh, that's really interesting. I read that your platform combines genetics, environmental, and patient-specific data with clinical guidance, mm-hmm. as well as is supported by the most recent scientific evidence. And then it gives a risk assessment to inform screening and early detection. Could you tell me more about how you do that?
Yeah, so I think one of the challenges, and I think one of the reasons that genetics may not have had such rapid adoption within our healthcare system is it is very complicated. And you can be born at risk genetically for a number of diseases you're never going to get. So where we focus is understanding as soon as symptoms start, what is the most likely origin of that? So we can facilitate prioritizing, you know, those specific factors versus the 99 low risk components. And then from there, there are guidelines on how to treat or approach some of these diseases or opportunities to develop novel treatments.
And what data do you use? So where do you get the genetics data and all the other data that you're using?
So we actually have designed a number of custom chemistries that previously we've done sequencing, and now we have built really the next step of that, which is a curated single nucleotide polymorphism, a SNP, which is just specific pieces of genetic information. We know what it does and how it can affect patient health. So we have a front end to our portal where providers create an account, and then they place virtual orders for patients, essentially e-prescriptions. The patient gets a link to their health profile where they provide their consent, and we actually gather information about their past family medical history, their current symptoms, and, you know, different things that might be comorbidities that can affect the model. And then we ship them a saliva kit through the mail where they swab their cheek. It goes to a lab that runs a custom chemistry, and then the data comes back to us. And we actually really combine it and organize it into a clinical decision support tool, because no doctor wants to go through 30 pages of, you know, just data dump of genetic information. They want to know, what does it mean and what do I do?
Yeah, exactly. The so what factor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so are your customers basically the hospital systems and the doctors?
Right now it has evolved from just being the leading gastroenterologists across the country at academic centers more into physician practices. Okay. As, you know, their colleagues see what they're able to do and accomplish with this type of insight. It's really organically grown throughout practices at different organizations.
Yeah. And the data is basically the patient's data and the saliva data alongside all of the, you know, guidelines and everything else that you've got, the public data.
Right. I think one of the key things that made me recognize with my co-founder, Dr. Whitcomb, is a huge gap within healthcare. You know, he was chief of gastroenterology at UPMC for almost 18 years, you know, published hundreds and hundreds of papers with unique insights. And they sit on a bookshelf in a journal somewhere for 15, 20 years. And one of the opportunities to use more sophisticated technology is to more rapidly link a provider to emerging evidence or data around that patient type. So rather than them being bearing the burden of reading hundreds of papers and understanding them and then learning how to apply it to each unique patient requirements, we really do that heavy lifting for them. So all the insights are hyperlinked to the best available evidence at that time and can be updated over time.
Okay. And do any biopharmaceutical companies use your services?
So we are currently in discussions with a couple of different large pharma companies that have GI portfolios in which our services can really help take a large disease and cluster it into what patients may respond to and which ones may not.
Yeah.
Beyond just pharmacogenomics, but biologically, are you actually treating the thing that's driving their symptoms or disease? Or are you treating something upstream or downstream and missing?
Yeah. Yeah. And so are the companies that you're speaking to, do they have the same sort of use cases for your data, or are there a variety of use cases that they're looking at?
There are a variety of use cases. And I think that's what is ultimately leading to the adoption and the recognition of the value of what we're doing here at Aerial. Is if you have somebody who has abdominal pain and you know, you're looking at, could it be celiac disease? Could it be pancreas? Could it be something within the gut? Could it be bile malabsorption? You know, all of these different things there can be a treatment for. So we want to uncover what's going wrong with that patient and then what is the best treatment path for them.
Yeah.
And pharma is interested in that because when you can identify the source of a symptom early, you have a longer time to align an effective treatment before more chronic damage has occurred and really mitigate the severity of some of these chronic diseases.
So is it the R&D departments that you're working with mainly?
Yeah, I would say R&D and then sometimes, you know, post-launch analysis, trying to understand how to better align this. But I really would say in the phase 2, phase 3 clinical trials, this type of strategy is so critical because you want to make sure you're treating patients that are going to benefit and de-risking your drug development program by not putting a drug in patients that are not only not likely to benefit, but may cause adverse events.
So what would you say the biggest advantages are? Would it be making sure that it's the right drug for the right patient?
Essentially precision medicine, right drug,
yeah.
and treating the disease or the underlying mechanism.
Yeah. And then do you do anything with diagnostics at all?
So we do. So genetic testing is considered a diagnostic.
Yeah.
And this is where I think, you know, parallel diagnostics, when you look at biomarkers, when we look at something like pancreatic cancer, you know, patient can be at high risk for pancreatic cancer. And there are some screening tools that will check for antigens or different things in their blood. And some patients actually may overproduce that or may not produce it at all. So knowing that context of which diagnostic tools may be more appropriate or less useful can be very helpful in that early detection or diagnostic process.
Yeah. And what about the healthcare provider, the payers? How are they responding to this?
I think working with payers has been really challenging for a smaller organization.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the way our healthcare system is that getting access to types of treatment can be can be a huge burden for the office. They have to do medical records requests. They have to do prior authorizations. They're completely bogged down with all of these steps. And then you provide the service, and then a doctor that may never have seen the patient will say, "Well, I don't think this patient needed this test." So that's been really challenging. But obviously, what we're developing serves the healthcare ecosystem. So payers will benefit from utilization of our type of technology because, you know, they're not going to be paying for imaging procedures or diagnostic tests looking at the wrong area or the wrong problem. It'll really make the diagnostic journey much more efficient. And ultimately lead to lower costs for them and the patient.
And if so, a lot of the people that listen to this are pharma people. If you were kind of trying to help them figure out where the best place. So what kind of, if you could maybe give a few use cases that they can listen, someone could go, oh, that's my problem.
Yeah. So I think from pharma development, especially when you're working on more rare or less common diseases, finding enough patients to effectively power a clinical trial can be very challenging. And if your efficacy endpoints need to be powered with, a specific outcome, using something like Ariel's technology to identify those patients from across the country really can help accelerate the recruitment process. And then you have something much more objective using the genetics versus just clinical phenotype, where, this is the specific type of patient we're looking for that may or may not be afflicted with this disease. That's our current diagnosis. But the integration of a genetic profile leaves a lot more of an objective anchor. And then from there, you need less patients to hit those efficacy endpoints when you have an enriched approach, aligning the mechanism of their disease to the MOA of your drug. And you also, as I mentioned, de-risk the clinical trial. And then you have something to really use to more efficiently pull in a pipeline of therapeutics versus, I don't think there's a big Lipitor out there, a huge blockbuster, not yet, we'll see. But there are a number of conditions that just don't have effective treatments. And this is where this type of approach is super
There's so many, I don't know how many are in the pancreas, but there's over, around 8,000 diseases that don't have treatments at the moment. So it's interesting. And what about the future? Where are you planning to go from here?
I think really taking the model that we have developed for pancreatic diseases and expanding it to, other chronic inflammatory or digestive GI diseases. We are looking at partnering with pharma companies that can utilize this type of technology. I think one of the other elegant things that we've integrated is when we encounter a patient in the clinical setting that has a condition, if there's an effective treatment on the market, we can link that provider to that package insert when that's appropriate. And I think that, there's a number of unique opportunities from the different from the legacy approach where you've got thousands of sales reps across the country knocking on doctors' doors. This is a much more straightforward awareness of a specific patient and the right treatment.
Well, for any pharma companies out there who are listening, to get hold of Ariel Medicine, you can go to arielmedicine.com and you will be able to reach out to Jessica and the team there and find out how you might be able to work together. Thank you so much for your time today. And I really appreciate it. Really, really fascinating. And I look forward to hearing where you go next. Wonderful. Which disease areas is.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.